Well, I'm glad to know that reality. Amen. Amen. Praise God for that. Amen. Well, good to be saved. Good to be in the house of God this morning. Appreciate the goodness of the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter number 22. 1 Samuel and chapter number 22. Amen. Amen. Well, if you ain't figured it out, we haven't sung together in a while. We're going to have to practice some more. That first song, the Lord let me write that a few months ago, and I was able to write that one. And so we haven't, we've only tried that one time, and that was the second time. But anyway, I'm glad God made a difference in my life when he saved me, amen. It's as different as day and night, but amen, I'm glad my night time was yesterday, amen. I'm walking in the light today. And it is wonderful to be saved. I'm thankful for the power of salvation and how it changes our life. And it is a joy to be a part of the family of God. And I don't know where I would be without God's people. And I'm so thankful to be a part of the church. Thankful for friends in the faith. I appreciate your man of God. And his faithfulness through the years to stand and preach the Word of God. And what a great, tremendous Bible preacher that he is. I'm not trying to sweet talk him or, you know, toot his horn or nothing like that. You, a man of God's worthy of double honor. That's just Bible, amen. He's worthy of double honor. And you ought to be thankful you got a man of God this morning that prays for you, carries a burden for your soul and your family, and desires to see you do something for the Lord and will help you in any way he can. Amen. I appreciate God's men, and it's a joy to be able to participate today in this Pastor Appreciation Day. I have thought about what to preach, prayed about what to preach, thought about dealing with the role of the man of God to some degree this morning, but just could not get liberty to go that route this morning. And so maybe tonight, if the Lord changes our mind or whatever the case may be, but we'll try our best to give you what the Lord has given us, and maybe the Lord will help you. If you're visiting for the first time, please come back. Please come back. Please come back. Amen. Do not judge this preacher based on my preaching, okay? Amen. Amen. You'll like him a whole lot better than you'll like me before it's all said and done. 1 Samuel chapter number 22, verse number 1. The Bible says, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress and everyone that was in debt and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. David went thence to Mizpah of Moab, and he said unto the king of Moab, let my father and my mother, I pray thee, come forth and be with you till I know what God will do for me. And he brought them before the king of Moab, and they dwelt with him all the while that David was in the hold. And the prophet Gad said unto David, abide not in the hold, depart and get thee into the land of Judah. Then David departed and came into the forest of Hereth. If that's correctly read, that's the first five verses, and there's a lot more that I could probably read, but we'll stop right there and try to give you what the Lord has nudged our heart about this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the day. Thank you for the privilege that it is to be saved by the grace of God. Thank you, Lord, for your love and your mercies today. And what a privilege it is, Lord, to be in your house. I pray, God, that you might help us, Lord, as we try to handle your word and deliver the thought that you've brought to our mind. I pray, Father, that you'd help us to recall the things we've studied. Help us, Lord, to have the anointing and the unction and the utterance of the Holy Ghost to be able to declare the truth this morning. I pray that your will would be done in all things. Receive the glory unto yourself, for it's in Jesus' wonderful name we do pray. Amen and amen. I'm looking in the first couple of verses this morning and looking at the cave of Adullam. Now, the word of Adullam literally and just simply means The word refuge. The word refuge. And if I can this morning, I simply want to preach this psalm on a refuge that I can run to. A refuge that I can run to. I'm so thankful this morning that I have a refuge that I can run to. I'm thankful that in my hour of need, in my hour of trouble, in my hour of distress, that I have a refuge, thank God, that I can run to, find the help that I need in the moment that I need it. Now, I want to look back and just lay a quick foundation and then launch right into the message. There's a wealth of material here, and amen, I don't want to be too long-winded. I'm going to start something and have, amen, an identity with being long-winded, and I don't want that, amen. Amen, say amen, preacher right there. And then I want to try to focus here for just a few minutes. David is in trouble. David is facing probably the most confusing time of his life. It's one thing to walk into a valley and go fight a giant, amen, but it's another thing entirely when Saul, your king, is coming after you and desires to take your life, and you have done nothing wrong. You've handled yourself wisely. You've done everything you know to do right. And yet you are in trouble with Saul. David, of course, is fearing for his life twice now. Saul's tried to kill him. Jonathan has tried to defend him. And now Jonathan cannot stand in the way of Saul. David's wife, Michal, she can't even convince Saul to stay off of David's back. Amen. The kingdom and had their allegiance to David. They can't hold Saul's wrath off. And Saul is coming after David and he is in great trouble. It's interesting, I'll throw this out, but he runs this morning, you would think, to somebody in Judah, somebody that can hide him, but nobody can hide him. He's not safe anywhere he goes. So there's only one place that he thinks in his mind to go, and he runs to Philistia. Now, I don't understand this one, I'll be honest with you. I do not understand what came across David's mind, but in the verses preceding chapter number 22, David has ran to Gath. He has ran to Philistia. He has ran to the Philistines. He has run to the people that he set to flight as a young boy, and now he is running into the arms of the enemy. May I say this, that in a time of low point, in a time of great distress, in a time of confusion, hurt, and separation, loneliness, and isolation, be careful who you run to. I'm telling you, it'll be easier than you can imagine. You'll do it quicker than what you can naturally think. Amen. Before you recognize that you have ran to the arms of the enemies of God. You have ran to the enemies of your flesh. And the victory that God gave you yesterday, amen, will become your defeat tomorrow if you run into their arms when you are in trouble. I have watched people get into trouble and they couldn't find help everywhere they turned. Everywhere they looked, they couldn't find the help that they needed. And so they ran to the enemy that God had already delivered them from. So he's hurt, he's hunted, he's on the verge of hysteria. He's in havoc in his heart, he's horrified now. Somewhere here in this moment, he realizes what he has done. He has a moment of clarity in his heaviness and his hopelessness, and he realizes, what am I doing? This is insanity. And I guess that's where he got the idea. Because as insane as it was for him to run to the enemy, the only way out was to act insane. And so that's what he did. Amen. And so he puts on a show, and it must have been a show, buddy. Because the king of Gath bought it hook, line, and sinker. and didn't want nothing to do with him. God allowed him to escape. What mercies of God are right here. I'm just trying to tell you, don't go to that point. You can bypass that route. Don't go that route. If you're in trouble, if you're going through difficulty, if you are in distress, whatever you do, don't run back to the enemy God's already delivered you from. Amen, amen. So he goes to Gath, he goes to Philistia, he's in trouble, and God delivers him, amen. But right smack dab in the middle between insanity and victory that was to come, God prepared him a refuge. There is a refuge this morning for the child of God. Now, here's the thing. He is in need of some place to hide. You ever been there where you needed to hide? Yeah, I've been there. You ever been someplace you needed to heal? Yeah, I've been there. Needed some place where you could get help. You needed some place you could hold up. That is what a doulam represented. Now what's interesting is this, is that when he goes into Philistia, he's coming out. Judah, the territory of Judah, seized up, lined up, and bordered up to Philistia, to Gath. And that borderline, there was a wilderness separating in that area. And it is in that area, we could call that no man's land. You didn't want to get there. You don't want to be there. Because you got armies of the Philistines and the armies of Judah. Everybody's patrolling this area. You're watching for people. You're watching for an attack. It's a guarded area. It's no man's land. You don't want to be in that area. But here he is, he runs from Judah, he goes into Philistia, and now he's coming back out of Philistia, and he's running right back into Judah. I'm just telling you, that's a bad place to be. If you can take it this way, I'm going to look at it sort of kind of this way. Saul represents a spiritual enemy. The Philistines in Gath represent a physical, carnal, worldly, fleshly enemy. And it's amazing when both of them are coming after you. It's terrifying intact when they're both, in fact, when they're all coming after you. And here he is. He can't go back there. The world's behind him. He's running for his life. He's escaping. Even he got out and the king didn't want him. I'm sure they probably didn't want him to get away from him. I mean, he's David after all. Insane or not, he's David. So he had to escape. And by escape, that means he's running from them. The problem is he's running right back into Saul's arms. So somewhere in there, he has to stop and go, hey, what am I going to do at this point? I can't go any further into Judah. I can't go back the way I was coming. He's stuck right here, and there's no help in sight. What are you going to do, David? I don't know what went through his mind. I don't know if he had wrote the psalm, or I don't know where he had sung the song or heard the hymn, but I just wonder if about that time he says, I will look up unto the hills from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. And by the time he looked up, he saw a rock that was higher than he was. You find out that a doulam is represented by this massive rock way up on a hill. You have to leave everything behind, leave your burdens behind, and climb a hill to get to the rock. But if you can get to the rock this morning, there's a refuge, thank God, that he has provided for us in our time of need. Amen.
He won't look to God for help. Lifted up his eyes and God said, get to the rock. Get to the rock. You'll find refuge there. Praise God, there is a refuge. At this refuge, number one, there is a rock that is always present. Amen. Thank God for the rock. Let me tell you how I know that this was a rock. And I mean a big rock. In 1 Chronicles, when it goes back to this story, and it talks about these men that come together with David, here's what happens. Now, three of the 30 captains, the Bible says, went down to the rock. Oh, yes, amen. They went down to the rock. The rock was the landmark. The rock was the place, amen, that God had turned his attention to. But it was a well-recognized rock, amen. It was set up, thank God, where he could run to it, amen. By the way, this wasn't going to be the only time he would run to a rock. I'll get to that in just a minute. But in our next chapter, the Bible says when Saul and his men go to seek him, they told David. And so David came and went into a rock. He ran to a rock, thank God. I'm so glad that Christ is the rock this morning. Amen. He is the rock, amen, that is always present in your time of trouble, in your time of distress, in your time of need. Get to the rock, amen. Amen. Get to the rock that is always present. Amen. You'll find out that the rock is a representation of his person. Amen. You see, because the rock, listen to me. He did not need a small stone. Oh, yeah. You know, he went into a valley one time facing the battle, what we'd say, of his life, and he picked up five smooth stones. He had a rock there. Amen. There was a rock present there. Amen. That went in that sling and took down a giant. But I'm telling you, that wasn't a giant this time. Amen. It was an enemy that he was never going to behold. Praise God. He wasn't going to be able to fight Saul. That's God's anointed. Amen. This was a sovereign battle. This was a spiritual battle. He wasn't equipped to fight that fight. Are you hearing me? Amen. Amen. And so he needed a different kind of rock altogether. Not one he put in a sling. Not something he could take in his hand. But that he could run to, get inside of, and hide, thank God, and let the refuge cover him up. Amen. Amen. He needed a rock. A rock, number one, that was foundational. Psalm 27, verse number 5. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. It's a rock that is a fortress. Psalms 31, verse number 2. Bow down thy ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock. For an house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for my name, thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Oh, it's a fortress. Amen. It's a rock that is faithful. Psalm 62, verse number 7. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, ye people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Amen. God is my refuge and strength. A very present help in time of trouble. Amen. Amen. He is a present God. Amen. He is the God who is, amen, out of time. Amen. He is not limited by time. He is not limited by the hour. He is not limited by the moments. He stands outside of time. And yet, at the same time, amen, by time, he makes time consist. Amen. He is the God of time, outside of time, and in time, because he's always on time, every time. Thank God for that. Amen. He is the ever-present God in our time of need. And then he is the rock that is foremost. Oh, yes, the rock that is foremost. In Psalm 61, verse number 1, hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Selah. For who is God save our Lord? And who is a rock save our God? Amen. I'm glad I got a rock. Thank God this morning. Amen. In my time, in my hour of need, in my time of fear, in my time of distress, in my time of confusion, I'm so glad there's a rock that I can run to. Amen. Amen. A rock that is present. A rock that is present. Number two, I'm moving quickly. Number two, amen, there's a revelation of a place when you get to the rock. So here's what happened. David has to make the climb. David has to leave that low point, and he has to get up to the rock. It's a massive rock. It's a big rock. It's going to involve some climbing and some figuring out, amen, amen. It ain't always easy getting to the rock, amen. Especially for the flesh, it's not going to be always easy to get to the rock. But David makes his way up to the rock. But when he gets up there, he finds out that the rock that he was drawn to and the rock that he saw was not just some big slab of stone. Oh no. But it involved a structure of caverns and caves that were all connected to the rock. Amen. 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 Here's what I'm trying to tell you. The rock that he saw was just the tip of the iceberg to what all God had structured. Amen. That you probably couldn't see because it's all under the ground. Yeah. Amen. Amen. You weren't going to be able to tell all that God had already designed, everything that was prepared for David. I don't even know if he understood all the places that he could hide and all the places that he could hold up in. I don't think he understood the structure that God had there. But God had to get him and see his presence and see his place and see his person. And so when he got up there in the presence of God, he took a look around and realized God had provided a structure that could support him. What are you trying to say? I'm trying to tell you that when you run to God in your time of need, without fail, God is going to point to you and reveal to you the necessity of the church in your hour of need. Oh, yes. You are going to need the church. You are going to need God's people. Amen. This is the place. Amen. I understand the rock represents his person and his presence, but there is a structure that he is the head of, that he's the cornerstone of, that he's the rock of. Amen. Upon this rock, I'll build my church. There is a structure, thank God, that's anchored into that rock that'll be there to help you and support you, has the structure to see you through the difficulty time. Amen. Amen. There is a church. I'm telling you, I remember the days after Jack when I couldn't think. Amen. I couldn't understand what was going on in my world. I knew I needed God. I needed his presence. I'll tell you where I found it. I found it at the house of God. Amen. You need the church, whether or not you understand, man. You got to have the church. Amen. Amen. It was a place that he could not only hide behind, amen, but he could get into. You know what they call that? I'm running the rest of it. Amen. You know what they call that? A stronghold. Amen. 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 It's a stronghold. I don't know about you, stand up, Riley. I don't know about you, but every now and again, when a brother in Christ comes along, they grab me like
yes,
this.
Yes, sir.
You know what
Amen.
They're doing? Stronghold.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Every now and again, I just needed a brother come around me, throw his arm around me, say, boy, I love you. I care for you. I'm praying for you. I'm here for you. What I realized is I got wrapped up in one of them caves and I found a stronghold that'll see me through the hard days. Oh, yes. Thank God for the church. I don't know where I'd be if it wasn't for the church.
Amen.
Amen. Let me give you a couple things quickly. I'll move on to the next point. Let me give you some things about this place. Number one, it had a strategic location. A strategic location. Now, get this. Listen. Amen. This place was on the border of Gath and the border of Judah. It was in the border. So here's what was happening. The Philistines wanted to come after him, but they couldn't because they're scared of Saul and Judah. And Saul and Judah wanted to come after him, but they couldn't because they're scared about the Philistines and the king of Gath. So at this place, both of the enemies of David are being held back.
Amen.
Oh. Amen. Oh, man. Boy, there's days where the flesh comes after you. And I mean, it hunts you down. The world's after you. The influence is after you. I'm talking about the hound dogs of hell are coming after you.
Yes.
Amen. But when the world, I'm telling you, the world and your flesh and you feel like you can't make it, next thing you know, you walk back into the doors of the house of God. And next thing you realize is they can't get you in here. They're not pursuing you in here. There's a refuge, thank God. It has a power, a strategic location that holds back the enemies of the flesh and the world. Oh, and then there's spiritual enemies that will oppose and that will pursue that attack. I've had battles in my mind. I've had battles in my heart. I've had struggles in and out. Are you listening to me? Amen. Just deep struggles. But I'm telling you, there's something about coming into God's house. Amen. Getting in my place in the house of God. Sitting in my place. Second row right in the center. Amen. There's something about standing right here in my place. Amen. At the house of God. That right here, for some reason, my battles anything near what they are out there. Amen. I ain't having to fight them like I am. Amen. Right here. There's a realm I'm trying to tell you is there's a refuge. There's a refuge in the place that God has given us in the house of God. Amen. Amen. There's a strategic location. Amen. There's substantial accommodation. Amen. Amen. There was going to be a whole lot of people that gathered themselves together with him. And the cave had room for everybody. Amen. Amen. I'm glad that the refuge that it is to me is the same refuge it can be for you. There's room for you and there's room for me. There is substantial, sufficient accommodation when you get to the cave. Amen. Then there's a secure habitation because it's referred to in the chapters, and I already got this part. Amen. As a hold, as a stronghold. It's a defensible position. Even if the enemies would consider it, it was going to be an uphill battle the whole way. And you were fortified behind the stone. I'm just telling you, there ain't an army, amen, with sense going to ever try that. It was a stronghold, a secure habitation. Amen. Let me hit this one. There was a shared invitation. Amen. You see, there's a group of people that found out that David was hid there. And they made their way to that cave where David was at. Amen. This is leading to the next point, but I need to throw this out here. Do not think for one minute that the refuge that he is and the church is, it is not ever to be a seclusion or isolation. If you, in your time of need and in your time of despair and distress, start getting isolated, you are in trouble. And I know it seems to be natural to some people that when they're hurting or when they're confused, they shut up, shut out, isolate. Because they don't want to get hurt or whatever the case may be. But I am telling you, in this cave, David had to open his heart and let people in. And I'm telling you, if you're going to be able to get the help that you need in the refuge that God's provided in his presence and in the place of the church, then my friend, you are going to have to let people in. Amen. Amen. I'm going to move to the third point, but boy, that could be hammered right there. Amen. By the way, it is believed that when he got there, when David got there, he wasn't the first one up there. It is believed that there were people already in those caves. They were already hiding out from the Philistines and from Saul. They were already there dwelling. It was already a place where they were living. And so somebody had to let David in. Well, boy, I'm telling you, there's some preaching right there. Amen. Amen. I'm thankful for people that let me in. Amen. That cared enough to let me into their world. Amen. Let me into that place and that rest and that comfort. I'm thankful for the body of Christ that opens their arms and takes you in. Amen. Don't let the refuge become isolating. Amen. There's a shared invitation. And here's the reason why. Because you not only find a rock that's present and you find the representation of a place, but number three, you're going to find the reinforcement of people. Oh, yes. There's people that are going to come here and they are David's reinforcements. Amen. That is the people of God. Boy, there's a lot to say here. And if I stay here, I'm going to get bogged down. But let me just give you a couple of these. There were those in verse number 2, amen, that were in distress. That word means they were anxious. They were in hardship. They were troubled. Oh, my. Amen. There were people there that were in distress and they needed a refuge just like David needed. There were people that were in debt. They were in debt. They were in trouble because of their debt. And they needed a refuge. There were those that were discontented and they needed a refuge. I'm telling you something, every time I look at this crowd, I go, man, I see myself in that crowd, don't you? Amen. I can't help it. I just see it, amen. Because I remember the day that I ran to the refuge in distress. Amen. I remember that word means to be fearful, Boy, I remember the first time I ever ran to the refuge. I was a 7-year-old boy on my way to hell. I was troubled about my condition, troubled about my spiritual condition. I was in trouble, are you hearing me, with God. And I needed a refuge, amen. I needed a place to run to, amen. As a 7-year-old boy, I ran scared to death, to die and going to hell. I ran to a refuge and God took me in, put peace in my heart, amen. And settled my fear, amen. Boy, I remember being terrified some of those nights of being lost. I tell it all the time, and maybe I told it here, it'd be all right, I'll tell it one more time, amen. But I remember being under conviction so bad, I'd wake up at night, I'd jump out, I was in a bunk bed, sleeping in the top bunk. I never did understand why boys fall over the top bunk. We always fall over the top bunk. The older I get, I go, huh, I ain't getting up here, amen. Amen. But that's what we did. And I was at the top bunk. I would come out of that top bunk scared about the rapture, scared about dying. And I'd put my hand over my brother's nose and mouth just to know that he was breathing and he was alive. Because I was scared to death about being by myself. And I'd go to the door of my mom and dad's bedroom and I'd put my ear up against the door so I could hear my dad snoring, amen. Just so I knew that the rapture hadn't taken place. Amen. And then I'd go back to bed once I knew they were still there, amen. What in the world would cause that kind of trouble, that kind of troubling inside of the heart of a 7-year-old boy? That was the Holy Ghost in conviction. Amen. And he brought distress inside of my heart, brought a fear that only God was going to be able to take away. Say, I don't believe in the fear gospel. Well, you're talking about one fellow, amen, that figured out that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, amen. Amen. It was grace that taught my heart to fear, amen. But it was sweet grace my fear relieved. Thank God for the amazing grace of God. I don't know this morning, but if you're in distress, if you are in anxious, if you are in fear, I'm glad to report to you, you can run to the refuge and find comfort and get peace for the trouble in your soul. There's those that were in debt. Amen. The debtors were coming after them. Boy, they had involved themselves in all kind of mess, bad, poor decision making. Maybe they got tricked. Maybe they got scammed. But they bought a bill of goods that didn't stack up. Amen. And they were in trouble with the debt collector. Amen. Amen. That describe anybody like that? Does that describe you? Amen. Amen. Where you made decisions and sin was coming after you. The debt had to be paid for your sin. You had a price to pay. Yes, being lost, but even saved, you've made decisions to sin. Amen. And there was a debt collection placed upon you. Amen. Where you were going to have to pay the penalty for that sin and you couldn't pay it. Amen. You couldn't pay it, thank God. Amen. And I tell you what you needed. You needed a refuge. You needed a place where you could run and you could hide.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm glad to tell you, if you're in trouble in sin today, you can run to the refuge. If panic and fear and anxiety is dominating your life, amen, you can run to a refuge. If guilt and the dominion of sin is dominating your life, you can run to the refuge. The debt can get settled. The blood's already been shed and it's been paid. Yes, there's price to pay. Yes, there's penalties for sin. But praise God, you can run there and you don't have to pay that ultimate price. Amen. You don't have to die physically and go to hell eternally. You don't have to die spiritually in your sin. You can get forgiven and find life revived in your soul. I never will understand people that die, I mean wither and die in their sin.
Yes, sir.
Sitting on a church pew. You don't have to do that. People in distress, people that are in debt, then there's those that just simply were discontented. Is that you?
discontented with life, discontented with the will of God, discontented, uneasy, unsatisfied, always empty. Let me tell you something, the eyes of man are never satisfied. You try to live this life in the power of the flesh and the wisdom of your own self and your own mind, amen, leaning on your own understanding, you are going to live a miserable, discontented life. Amen. You say, preacher, I just don't understand. Get in line. Get in line. I'm not trying to be mean. There's a whole lot of people don't understand. The whole lot of people tonight or this morning that are in this building, they got questions for all kind of circumstances they're faced with. They got questions for all kind of trouble they've had to be faced with in their life. Amen. And they do not understand. But praise God, because they run to a refuge, there's a God that they can trust in Him at all times. And they can take their burden to the Lord and leave it there and be satisfied with this thought that God makes no mistakes. He knows what He's doing, and He is able to satisfy the longing inside of your heart. Amen. Preacher, I'm discontented. I've tried to serve God. I wanted to live for God, but I'm discontented. Run to the refuge. Get to the rock. Get in His presence and cast your faith and your trust in Him and say, here you go, Lord. And the reason why I'm discontented is because I wanted it my way. I'm willing to trust your way. If it takes eternity to explain it, I'll trust you anyway. I feel led to say this, amen. Otherwise, I wouldn't say it. Amen. I can't tell you how many times, please, I'm not bragging, and I'm not in any way. And I hate personal illustrations, but at the same time, at least they're the ones that you know are true. But I don't know how many times that I have been commented to from different people, you know. I hate the loss of your son, but man, y'all have been a blessing and you've been an encouragement. And the videos and things of that nature has helped so many people and so on and so forth and so on and so forth. And you get it. And we've had state senators and representatives and everything reach out. I've never even met the people, but they send word through Brother Josh that they wanted to tell Brother Keith and his family, thank you. And that's an encouragement. Don't get me wrong. I'm never going to put that down, but listen to me. You can put all the credit and you can put all the whatever, all the thanks and put it all on there. I'll still take Jack back.
Yes, sure. Absolutely.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
That makes sense.
Yes, sir.
I'd still take him back. If it was left up to me, in my flesh, in my mind, I'd say, yeah, give me Jack back. I'll take him back. I don't care how many times I see what God does with it. For me, I cannot justify God doing it and allowing it. Let me put it that way, because it's sin why it happens. But God allowing it, and I'll be honest with you, I will never be able to understand that. That will be an impossibility. And so this morning, I've got a gaping hole in my world. It's been 5 years. I thought it'd go away a little bit. It ain't budged. It's still a massive hole. But I'm going to tell you something. When I run to the refuge in my time of discontentment, because I've been hurt, or maybe those old wounds get reopened at times and I'm discontented. God, what are you doing? What in the world's going on? And I get to the refuge. I find that my rock and His presence and that sufficiency that's found there. Amen. God in His love and His mercy and His grace. Amen. Puts the oil of the Holy Ghost in that hurt and says it's going to be okay, boy. When you get to glory, it'll make sense. Trust me. And I have to throw my hands up and say, all right, God,
that's right.
I will trust you.
Amen.
And every time I've ever threw my hands up and said I trust you, that sweet satisfaction and the oil of gladness starts running through my soul again.
Amen.
I don't know what kind of hurt and distress and
pains you're going through. I'm just trying to tell you, run to the refuge. There's help there. I'll give you the last group here. There's the distraught ones. This is a group, I think, where you find out that David's brethren and his mom and daddy come to him. They weren't listed in verse number 2. They were listed in verse number 1, but they're the first crowd to come to him. And I began to wonder, well, I mean, they're just trying to support David. No, that wasn't exactly it. See, I found out that when this is going on, I don't know if it's Saul in his spite or whatever, but he's pulled back from Bethlehem, Judah. And he's allowed the Philistines to overrun it. And the reason why David's dad and mom and all of his brethren and family is coming to the cave is because that fleshly carnal enemy has stolen their inheritance, has stolen their home, has stolen their land. And they've been backed up against the wall. They ain't got nowhere to go either. I don't know, maybe that's you tonight or this morning. Maybe you're here and you're just distraught because the world is beating you and they have driven you from where you used to be with God. You look back at what you used to have. You used to have the wells of Bethlehem, Judah. You used to have that home. I mean, it's the city of David. It's the Boaz was there and Ruth was there. This is the place of bread. And now you've left it. You've had to leave it. It's overrun. Have you ever been in a spiritual instance in your life, that spiritual life where you had to leave? You left, amen, those wells and you left the bread and you had to leave what God had promised and it was your inheritance and you had to flee because the world was overrunning you. I don't know about you, but most churches I go to, they're distraught. And I don't get out as much anymore since we've been here at the church, but they're distraught because they had an inheritance that they know of Bethlehem, Judah. There were days when the wells of Bethlehem, Judah flooded the church in worship. And then there was great bread there at Bethlehem, Judah. It wasn't a place of famine or a place of famishing. It was a place of fruitfulness. It was a place where there was bread and food and abundance of bread. There was spiritual growth and spiritual life at Bethlehem, Judah. But now they don't have it. They're missing the springs of life. And it's not that there's not bread out there, but spiritually they're so dead and dried up that they're starving to death.
Yes, sir.
What's happened? Philistia has overran Bethlehem, Judah. They have lost ground. And they've had to give up what God has given them. And they are in trouble. And there was no place for them to run either. You know where they ran? To the same refuge. The exact same refuge. I'm just telling you, I don't know what you're facing this morning, but you can run to the refuge. Boy, there's a lot of preaching to do. I'm going to give you this point real quickly. There's the reinforcements of the people. There was a group of people that were called there, distressed, debt, discontented, distraught. They're all hurting. They all need help. And they run to that cave. But why did they go there? Really, why did they go there? What was attracting these people to this cave? Was it a what? Was it a who? Stay with me. I'm not going to preach the rest of this message. I can tell you that right now. But was it a what, Sam, or was it a who? Did they go to see the rock? Who'd they go see? David, right? That was in their mind. Let me tell you something. There were a group of people that were called that were reinforcements, but I'm going to tell you what. They were needing help, and they ran to this cave. It's because there was a captain there. Stay with me. Stay with me. Let me preach this one point, all right? There was a captain that was there. They needed help. And they knew that if they were going to get help, they needed a man of God. They needed a man sent from God that was going to be able to help them and strengthen them and train them and structure them so that they could start making some headway. They joined up and they gathered together in this cave and they were sick and tired of where they were at.
Amen.
Amen. They were sick and tired of what they were dealing with. They were sick and tired of all the hurt that they were dealing with, the distress that they were dealing with, the discontentment, and they wanted a change. They wanted a change in the political environment. I just wonder this morning if there's a group of people here that wants a change in the spiritual environment of the church. And so these people, sick and tired of where they're at, sick and tired of their personal condition, sick and tired of the condition of their families, sick and tired of losing ground, sick and tired of the Philistines overrunning their inheritance and what they used to have, and every conversation was what yesterday used to be like, and the joy that they had yesterday, and the bread they had yesterday, and they were sick and tired of it.
Right.
Now, sick and tired of the condition they were in, they went, you know what? If there was one man that could help us get out of this condition and the mess we're in, it would be David. And they went and joined themselves at the rock with David. Stay with me. I thought David was in a mess. I thought David was in the same shape these fellas are in. If anything, he was worse. I mean, they had debt collectors coming after them, and yeah, the Philistines were overrunning their place, but Saul was hunting David down, buddy. It was on in the life of David. Why in the world would a group of people run and make captain the man who's being hunted down by Saul and the king of Gath at the same time? Why would you go and join yourself to a man that was flesh like just like you were, that faced the same battles that you were faced with, that had the same difficulties you were faced with? Amen. And maybe it was worse off for him than it was for you. Why would you go join yourself to that man? I tell you why. Because if anybody was going to get a word from God, it was going to be that man. If anybody was going to get direction and instruction from God for what to do in the days of distress and discontentment and distraught and death, it was going to be that man. And so they ran to the man that they knew was going to get a word from God for their life. It was a man they could trust to organize them. A man that they could trust to get them disciplined. I'm talking about, this was a group of ruffians, buddy. I mean, really, this wasn't the best, the cream of the crop in the land of Judah. I mean, you got Abishai and some of them fellows there, but the rest of them, a bunch of thieves and poor businessmen. And I mean, and some of them, you know, a little scared. Oh, yeah. I mean, they're in distress and they're anxious people. And these are the guys, I mean, this ain't the cream of the crop. But for some reason, when they joined up with David, the Bible said he ended up with a whole bunch of mighty men. And then the Bible says in Chronicles They were all armed with a sword, and all of them could fight. How did that happen? Well, they got to the refuge, and David taught them how to fight. And the next thing you know is, when they coming out of that refuge, which is in the verses coming down, when they come out of there, they're a moving band of soldiers that everybody's scared to mess with.
Amen.
By the way, David starts taking on all kind of enemies after this moment, after they get, when they leave this refuge. And every battle that God tells them to fight, they never lose.
Amen.
Not one. Outnumbered, outmanned, and they still don't lose. They have a bunch of guys that get weak and wore out, weary and well-doing. They leave at the river, and they still go win the battle and come back. I'm just trying to tell you, amen, at the refuge, God has a group of people there that he will knit you to, join you to, reinforce you with, that will enable you to go back and capture the Bethlehem Judah and restore what God has already given you and promised to you as a people of God. Amen. Boy, there's a lot of preaching to do right here, and I ain't got time, and you ain't got time either. Amen. I'll give you, because I'm probably not coming back here. At least I don't feel this way. I'm coming back to it. I'm just going to give you my outline. I'll tell you what happened in the cave. So they're sitting there, they're training. I'll tell you what else happens. There's some reflections of the Psalms you'll find there in the caves. David writes at least three, but they say there's probably at least 5 to 7 Psalms that he writes in the caves. But I know of at least three that I believe that he wrote in the caves. Maybe not Cave Adullam, but in the caves he wrote them. I'm just telling you something. When you go to the cave and you get in the cave, get in the house of God, and you get a group of people together that want to see God do something, want to see God use their lives to recover some things, I'm going to tell you something. I don't care how bad it's going to get. Somebody's going to pick up an instrument. Somebody's going to play. Somebody's going to start singing. Next thing you know, they're worshiping God and glorifying God. That just happens when you get in the refuge. Praise God for that. Amen. Amen. Boy, there's a lot that could be said there. There's confidence in his wings, the confounding of the wicked that's sung about in Psalm 70 and Psalms 142. There's a cry to withstand. I don't know. They probably sung Rock of Ages cleft for me. Amen. Amen. Let me hide myself in thee. That was a reflection of the Psalms. There's a revival plea that takes place. It is in the cave of Adullam. He says, oh, for a drink from the wells of Bethlehem, Judah. And you know the story. He gets some mighty men. Them mighty men hear that cry, and they go bust through the gates and the lions of the Philistines, and they go get a cup of that water of that well and bring it back to David. David realizes what those men have done and the sacrifice that they made. He did not disgrace them. He did not dishonor them by pouring it out. It was so valuable to him as God was letting him know, hey, I'm going to get... This is what's coming. This is the promise. I'm going to let you get those wells back.
Amen.
I'm going to let you get that touch of God back. And with that promise, he poured that water out and he worshiped God with it. There was a yearning in his heart when he got in the refuge for revival.
Amen.
God will restore that. I've had that yearning for revival, and I know what it is to be hurting so bad, you could care less what happened at that point. You're ready for the whole world to burn. God just gets you, get some rest, hold you and help you and heal you. And God puts that yearning for revival back in your soul. I know what that's like. Then there's the renewed purpose. The name of Adullam means refuge, but it means the carrying out of justice. That's what was in the heart of David. Let me give you this one. I'm done. I promise. There's a recognition of the providence of God. Now, I have never seen it. They ain't even heard me preach this one. But I saw it, and I can't help it. I'm going to share it with you, and I'm shutting up. But there's a recognition of the providence of God when you get in the refuge. You see, we have these few verses, and we go down, Brother Jerry, and there's a few verses here about David's mom and dad. And I'll be honest with you, first time I preached this message, I skipped right over it because it didn't connect. The thing is this was going to be a pretty tough journey, and David's mom and dad, they weren't going to be able to handle it.
And that burden on David was going to weigh on him because he's responsible, you know, and he's needing to do something, and he don't know what to do. So you know what he does? He goes to Moab. And he goes to the king of Moab, and he gets them a place of rest and residence in Moab. Now we know what Moab represents. It's God's washpot. That's not the place you want to go, spiritually speaking. However, the more I study about Moab, God used Moab more than he did anybody else to help Israel and not hurt them. Matter of fact, he comes there and he's needing some place to get them out of the line of fire. What is he going to do? He's got to get them somewhere. He takes them to Moab. Let me just stop and remind you, how in the world did he get audience with the king of Moab? How did he know the king of Moab? And who is the king of Moab? And why is he talking to David? He's not king of Israel. He's not king of Judah yet. What is going on? How are they connected? Anybody forget where his great-grandma's from? His great-grandma, Obed's grandma, Jesse's grandma, Obed's mama, yes. Ruth, you know where she's from? Moab. Now, listen to me. I know Peninnah. Is that her name? Did I say it right, Peninnah? She didn't come. You know where she went? She went back to Moab. So that means that David had some distant relatives in Moab, living in Moab. Orpah, that's her name. So he has relatives that are in Moab. I don't know that they complete. Do you think that Ruth completely just disconnected and never talked to her sister again? I don't think so. I don't think so. Matter of fact, I don't think it was like it was, but a connection, yeah. And I think that this moment in Moab, that his grandmother came out and he come into Moab, he was banking on that family relation to get refuge for his mom and daddy. And there seems to be no issue with this king of Moab. All I'm trying to tell you is, ain't it amazing? If there was one mark that you would think in the life of David or in the line of David, Ruth sitting there, she's a Moabitess. Well, that's a negative mark. That's what good Baptists do. Strike that. You just want to forget about being in Moab. Don't even think about ever being from Moab. Just get that behind you, move on, and go on for the glory of God, and just forget all about Moab. But they never forgot where God brought them from. And let me tell you something, when you are in trouble and you run to the refuge and there's a need, let me tell you how God sometimes meets it. God takes them negative things that happened a long time ago, some of those hurts, some of those people that you would just rather just forget all about and move on. And God all the while lets you go through that or come from there so that he can meet a need for you on down the road when you needed it the most. All I'm trying to tell you is in this moment of great distress when you run to the refuge, God will expose his providence. He's doing everything well. And everything's working out. And he has the ability to meet the need. Amen. Amen. There's a revelation of the prophet. Gad comes to him and says, "All right, David, you got to get out. You got to leave. You can't stay there." And here's the point. You run to the refuge. It's a place to hide, place to heal, place that'll hold you. But you can't stay there. You can't stay there hiding away from the rest of the world. Sooner or later, you're going to have to get up and you're going to have to move on and do something for God in spite of how you're hurting. Amen. I got news for you. He don't make it half a chapter and he's running right back to a cave. I'm just trying to tell you that when you need it, it's always available. Matter of fact, you'll find him multiple times he runs to the caves. God lets him return, find that protection, keep him moving, keep him going, keep him safe, and blesses his journey. I don't know what you need. I don't know what you're facing. I don't know what you're going to face. Maybe that's what it's about, is what you're going to face. But if there's anybody this morning that you're hurting, you're confused, distressed, may I tell you that there is a refuge you can run to. It's available. And you can find the help that you need this morning when you run to him. Let's all stand, every head bowed, every eye closed. The pastor's coming. If you need some help, won't you come? Musicians coming, they're going to play. Do you need the refuge? Do you need help from God? You can get the help you need this morning. You'll find out he's all you need. He's all you need. He'll supply that need. He'll strengthen you. Give you courage for another day. I am so thankful for my refuge this morning.
All right, some folk coming to pray this morning.